T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm waiting for a girl like you.
I will never know what song that is. You sing it.
Foreigner.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
But you didn't make it sound anything like that.
And Chris Ello.
This is a conversation you simply do not belong in.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
The happy hour is upon you, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, hour to go. Got a Padres pen pal coming your way here shortly.
I previewed some of the questions. They are tough.
They are. There are some doozies in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Scraby, how did you get these questions? Did you farm it out?
I did. I tweeted out from my account at Matt Scraby. Thanks for following me. And asked some of the people out there. Chris gave it a little retweet. The station account gave it a little retweet. And I knew that people were going to have questions. So that's how I did it.
People are, natives are restless, as I mentioned earlier on the program.
Yes.
You can kind of tell by the questions.
Yes, they are. That is a great way of
putting
it.
So-and-so sucks. When are the Padres going to figure it out and get somebody better in there?
I didn't include that one, Chris.
Yes, you did.
No, he didn't think he included it.
Yeah, I didn't think
I think I see
it.
One there that's kind of like that.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. That one is left for last because it's kind of a ridiculous question. So,
all right.
But does that mean we're ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Let's get to it.
All right.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
And we do this from time to time, so if you ever have a question and you see me tweet out that we're doing Padres Pen Pals, you can just reply to the tweet and you will get in line. If it's a good question, we'll put it in there. That's all it takes to get in line. So let's start. Chris's favorite part, the scribbling.
Scribbling.
Scribbling. And our first question is from at SoCalBlue1. And I guess I'm going to ask Tony first because his name and his father are a part of this question. Does the organization emphasize the hitting principles of a Hall of Fame Padre, Tony Gwynn, throughout its various levels? If not, why not?
I'm sure there are some principles that they absolutely teach. You can't, and by principles, I mean the main things that all good hitters have to do, I'm sure they teach. I don't know. I don't really stick my nose in that kind of stuff. I know having talked to Damon Easley about hitting a few times, I know that his principles that he has align with the same principles my father has. But I can't speak for the minor league system. I don't know. And to be fair, you can't. It's tough to do it that way because everybody, especially when it comes to hitting, there's so many different ways to do it that, not everybody connects with the way my dad taught it. So you gotta, there's a fine line there, but I think for the most part there probably are a lot of principles that my dad had that they teach throughout the organization.
Chris, anything to add?
The only thing I'll add is this, that going from the principles that Tony's father had to actual success in teaching that to somebody, you still have to have the God-given ability and talent and skill to be able to pull it off the way Tony's right. dad did. And the only reason I say that is because just going back over your dad's career as the head coach at San Diego State, I'm pretty sure he passed along pretty much everything he knew to every one of those kids that ever played for him. And, you know, while some of them had some great success, still were college kids trying to pull off something that a Hall of Famer could only pull off. So that's the only thing I will point out.
Okay,
it's easier. It's easier teached than learned.
Todd? That is all facts. You are looking and talking to a walking byproduct.
I'm sure he taught you. Was there one thing that he taught you to do, Tony, that you just, for the life of you, just couldn't really get?
No, I could get all of it. It's just I couldn't do it as consistently yeah. as he talked about. I think the one thing that I actually taught my dad, based off of my own experiences, and I don't think he ever thought about it like that, was, and I think I might have mentioned it before, but being a right-hand dominant left-hand hitter was something that was foreign to him, because he was a left-hand dominant left-hand hitter, as most people are, right? That's why you're hitting from that side. I wasn't that way. So as much as he talked about knob to the ball, which is a good starting point for everybody, I had to think more about my left hand, because it was the weaker hand, and it was the hand that wasn't programmed to swing the bat the same way, right? He was working from the opposite angle. So I think after working with me as I got into my professional career and I started bringing that up to him, I think it was something that he added to, you know, the younger guys that he was teaching.
Yeah, did he teach you how to squash the bug?
No, never heard him say nothing about squash.
I don't even know what that is.
I was taught that when I was playing baseball.
No, I knew exactly what you were talking
really?
About.
Really? I was never taught
when you
that.
Take
what
your,
is that?
Your step, when you're hitting, you put your foot down, and then you turn it like you're squashing a bug.
Huh. So. I see.
Yeah, that's what makes me such a great intramural
boy,
softball player.
You show it every Wednesday night.
Yep, that's right.
It's on display.
Lots of grounders. Seeing eye grounders. All right, the next one. Thank you to at SoCal Blue One. Now, this one is at Rick the Runner. Chris, you're up first. Is Gore getting any closer to figuring it out? Does he have the quote-unquote twisties, too? And the twisties are in reference to Simone Biles, who has... We haven't really talked about this since we talked about Simone Biles.
She's actually coming back.
She is coming back.
In the Olympics. She's going to compete in the balance beam.
Yeah,
so.
she's experiencing something similar to, like, vertigo. When she's upside down, she does, her equilibrium
she doesn't
is off.
Know which way is up. Or
yeah,
down, right?
Well, that's kind of a scary thing.
Very scary.
I think that's kind of a funny line by the...
Is he experiencing twisties?
Yeah, I don't know that Mackenzie Gore is experiencing vertigo. I can't answer that question officially. I don't know exactly where Mackenzie Gore is right now, but I mean, I got to believe that he's nowhere close to being ready, because if he was, this would be a pretty good time to call on him. Padres are in need of a starting pitcher, so I think you can just tell by the fact that his name's not being mentioned by anybody right now. Tells you all you need to know about where Mackenzie Gore is, and I got to believe that that's a situation that the Padres are keeping pretty close tabs on, and a lot of people in that organization are very hopeful that he will find it again soon.
Tony?
All indications are that is a no. I mean, I don't even believe he's with a minor league team right now. I think he's last time we checked or we heard, he was in Arizona.
Yeah, his last start, according to Baseball Reference, was June 18th, 2021.
Yeah, he gave up 6 runs in that game in an inning. And since then, I believe he was in has gone to Arizona because he has some blisters.
Yeah.
But even after those healed, he stayed down there to work on his delivery. So that would lead me to believe no. There is no scenario, I think, at this point, that Mackenzie Gore would go from Arizona straight to a big league roster. I would guess that he would have to go to the minor leagues first in order to show that the things he worked on has worked. Because at this point, the last thing you want is to bring him up here and for it to really unravel at the big league level. And Padres are in the business of winning games in the second half, too. So I don't know if this is a time to experiment with it. So if he cut up, he would have gone down to whatever level and pitched well, I think, before he would be called up. So I don't think it's close.
Mackenzie Gore debut day is going to be a big day.
If close is like, and when I say close, I'm saying next couple of weeks, month of August. Now, he might, the whole month of August, he could go out and pitch well in September for sure. But right now, I don't think it's that close.
All right, thank you for that. At Rick the Runner. Next up, at It's Rios. And Tony, you're up first on this one. When Fernando Tatis comes back, assuming Ha-Seong Kim stays hot with the bat, how do you juggle starting Kim, Frazier, Cronenworth, and Tatis?
You don't juggle it. Sorry. I mean, at this point, he would have to be scalding hot, I think, to crack any lineup in the infield. It's already going to be hard enough balancing what they have as it is, and that was without Kim being in the rotation. I don't see that you're juggling that. I think Frazier's going to play. I think Crone's going to play. Clearly, Fernando's going to play if he's healthy. There's nowhere else to put him. I mean, even if Haas is out of the game, then Frazier's then sliding probably to second at that point. So I don't see Kim. I mean, he would have to be like
scorching.
I mean, blazing hot, like
seven home runs and six at bats.
It would have to be something absurd, I think, for them to change course of what we've seen so far with the mix that we've had.
Before I get tweets, I do know that I said 7-6. Anyway, Chris.
Yes.
Do you know you said
seven home runs and six at
bats?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to make a point there.
Very good point, Scravy.
Thank you very much.
Same answer. The Ha-Seong Kim is a $24 million insurance policy right now, and right now it's cashing in for the Padres.
Yeah.
Paid off yesterday nicely. So for the next week or so, hope Ha-Seong Kim gets red hot and creates this issue. But, no way Fernando Tatis Jr. is coming out of the lineup, and nor is anybody else. They right now have nine starters for eight positions.
Yeah.
That's when everybody's healthy. And, you know, Ha-Seong Kim is number 10 on that list, and Jerks and Profar is number 11 or maybe even 12 on that list now because they just got Jake Marisnyk. So
right. They
have, you know, pretty good depth right now. But the starters are the starters, and the guys on the bench are the guys on the bench, and that's where Ha-Seong Kim is.
All right, thank you. It's Rios. Next one is at San Diego 78.
You got to this one.
Yeah.
Okay, you said you weren't going to get to this one.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the last one. That's kind of ridiculous.
Oh.
And Chris, you're up first on this one. Any free agent arms starters, in parentheses, like maybe an Edwin Jackson that could come in and give the pod some innings, maybe Hamels, thoughts?
Yes, I'll give you my thoughts. Probably not a great move at this point. Desperation move at best at this point. And, you know, I don't think you're down to desperate situations right now. You got three guys coming to join this bullpen pretty soon. Hudson, Lamet, hopefully, Strom for sure. You're going to have to ride your bullpen in August and September. We talked about it earlier in the show. You've got four starting pitchers. You got a fifth day with Kinnear maybe right now, whoever it might be. But I just assume use him before I go with somebody who's been on the street all year long. And Edwin Jackson, that name does not interest me in any way, shape, or form. I mean, the guy's had a crazy wild career, but Most of it's included giving up a lot of runs in most of the places he's pitched.
Tony, anything to add there? Thoughts?
I think that could be beneficial. Now, I don't know if the Padres are actually looking at it. I mean, Edwin's pitching for the USA team. Hamels just had a big workout. Maybe not just had one, but a couple weeks back. And I, from what I gather, the Padres were there. So I don't know. Maybe they didn't like what they see. Maybe it's an option later on. But I think it could be beneficial. Somebody that can give innings through the month of August and into September that can keep you in games, I think would be beneficial. Can Edwin do that? Yeah, possibly. I think so. Can Hamels do that? Yeah, possibly. I think so. But, you know, I'm not a scout, so I think ultimately that will fall into the department's hands. But I don't think it's a – I think you have to – when you don't have starting pitching that you could go to very easily, then you have to kind of think outside the box and keep your options open.
All right. Thank you, at Sandy Egg and 78. Now, this next one is just for Tony, and it's at from Sam Rhodes. Tony, favorite pair of sneakers you own?
Favorite pair of sneakers.
Why is this just for him? Because I only have three pairs of shoes total?
Yes, me and you only have three pairs of shoes, and Tony has, like, at least 100.
My favorite right now are my Crazy 8 Kobes.
Crazy 8 Kobes.
I do that thinking like I actually know what they are.
I'm trying to visualize it.
It is the Kobe with, like, you guys see me wear it. It's like the multicolors, red, blue, black, like they're kind of all over the place.
Oh,
those are my
favorite. Look at those, Chris, right here.
Yeah, I just called them up.
You, like, called them up and, like, hello, Crazy 8 Kobes, what's going on?
Oh, stop it.
You're such a...
You were going to say something else.
I was, but I got myself.
All right, Crazy 8 Kobes. Last one, and this is the ridiculous one, and I'm sorry if you're listening and you submitted this, but this is evidence that the sky is falling to some Padres fans out there. At DickNYC1, Chris, at what point does AJ Preller realize that Trent Grisham and Austin Nola aren't good enough hitters and that we need a whole new outfield?
He did a whole new outfit.
That's an interesting question, too, including Austin Nola in that question.
Well, he's a catcher.
Right, he's a catcher, so I didn't quite understand that. But
Trent Grisham has been struggling. Austin Nola just got back from the IL.
Padres have a much better record, by the way, with Austin Nola in the lineup.
It's like 16-8.
Yeah, they've done really well statistically with him playing. A whole new outfield. I don't know. Ask the Atlanta Braves. They just got a whole new outfield.
That's true.
They just got Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, and one other guy they snuck in there, too. And I can't think of who it is. But they got four outfielders in a matter of, like, one day. I don't know.
No, you're good.
It's kind of a silly question.
It is a silly question. So that's why
I don't think that A.J. Preller is going to realize that.
Good answer.
Best answer I can come up
with. You don't think he's going to wake up one night and be like, you know what? I need a whole new outfield. Tony, anything?
I think that's the best way to answer this. I don't think AJ's going to realize that.
Okay.
Listen, Grisham has struggled, and he's trying to find it. But as long as he finds it before, you know, the postseason rolls around, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, Tommy struggled a little bit as of late. A little bit. I mean, he's still red hot, considering if you look at the whole month. I mean, listen, Will has not swung the bat as well as he has. He hasn't been terrible by any means, but he hasn't been the 280, 16, I think it was, and some damage, and some RBIs, right? He hasn't been that guy. But I don't think they need a whole new outfield. I think, you know what? It's baseball. You're going to struggle at times. And right now, the outfield is struggling all at the same time. So, you know, it is what it is. The infield is not struggling all at the same time. Really, I mean, Hosmer had a great month. Cronenworth had a great month. Before Junior got hurt, Tatis had a great month. And Manny's as hot as anybody in the league. So, again, we talked about the inconsistency offense, and it kind of falls that way, right? The outfield was rolling at one time. The infield wasn't. The infield's now rolling. They just haven't been able to get on the same page yet.
All right. Thanks to all of our pen pals. That is it for this edition of Padres Pen Pals.
Boom. Good job out there, by the most part.
Yeah.
Good questions. Although I'm a little bit hurt that nobody wanted to know what my favorite pair of shoes was.
Okay, Chris, what's your favorite pair of shoes?
I mean,
I have three of them.
Yeah, it's actually, I have to make a decision.
I've never seen Chris wear shoes outside of...
Yes, you have. I have my white tennis shoes.
Yes.
I have my black kind of dressier tennis shoes. Those are my favorites.
The referee shoes?
No, those are my referee shoes. Those are another pair.
Oh.
No, okay. I have a black.
Do you have Do you have a pair of black glossy referee shoes like they all have?
Glossy,
like
like the patent leather.
Yeah,
like
no, not patent leather, but I do. I have shined them before.
Oh,
okay. Fancy. Is that what it is? Is it just shoe shine?
Just shoe shine. Yeah.
Okay.
At least on mine. Some guys have glossier looks than mine. But I do shine my referee shoes once in a while.
Now, is that like a trick of the trade right there?
It's something that they used to tell you made you look better as a referee, the shinier your shoes were. I never really bought into that. You know me,
Is that
Tony.
Real? Are you joking?
No,
or are you
they used
serious?
To tell you know, you want to look good. I mean, they like
look
you to
feel good.
Be clean shaven, you know, dressed, you know, have your uniform fit well. You got to look good before you can referee good. And if you come out there with sloppy looking shoes and somehow that makes you a worse referee, but I never believed in that stuff. You know me.
I always wondered as a kid, as we sat on the free throw line,
yeah,
looking at, I'm like, man, they all have like this glossy.
Oh, they used to shine them like crazy. Shine. They used to give a shoe polish and just. Who would have the shiniest shoes? That was a big deal. And my thinking,
I've always wondered.
Yeah,
that.
My thinking was, how about the better referee? Does that matter?
No.
Just make some good calls.
Apparently not.
Yeah, apparently not. If you have shiny shoes, you're good to go.
I know. I respect shiny shoes.
But I want to all answer right, the question that wasn't asked me. I like my black Skechers, my favorite pair of shoes.
Oh, there it is. The Skechers.
There. Yes. I wear them about
that
once a year.
Was disgusting.
Hey.
All right, we need
you
to get
and Clayton Kershaw with the Skechers on.
Me and Clayton.
That's hip. All right, let's get to break.
But I'm answering the question.
Let's get to break. When we come back, a couple of different things. The Miami Heat are building a roster full of bullies, and then the Mets. Whew, they don't sign their first round pick, and I think this is. I don't think there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but I hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the rear end for them not signing this kid Rocker. We'll talk about it on the other side. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan, here's some traffic.
6:27 is the time. It's supposed to be 6:17, but we're running a little late in this segment.
A little.
Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace Studio, San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging out in San Francisco, where tomorrow, not there, but across the bay, he will call along with Jesse Agler. Padres A's right here on 97.3 The Fan. Game gets underway about 6:40 tomorrow evening. Tony, you had something on the Mets' failure to sign their first-round draft pick. The kid from Vanderbilt, Rocker. Kumar Rocker.
He was a part of that that nice duo Vanderbilt kind of had.
And they got to the finals of the World Series this year, and they got beat
right,
by Mississippi State.
And I believe Leiter's son is the other part of it, right?
Yeah, they were a pretty good duo.
So basically, Kumar Rocker ended up not signing based off of, it sounded like, medical reports.
Mm-hmm.
We know, because we've already heard from Scott Boras, that he was cleared by more than a few independent doctors of reputable names. And that's not really the problem. The problem is, you know, you take a guy 10th pick and you don't sign him. Is there a reason? First of all, Matt, is there a reason why I'm echoing the way I am right now? It's killing my – I just can't deal with it right now.
Still?
Nope. I'm gone. There we go. Now, no more echoing.
It's – never mind.
Kumar Rocker doesn't sign. Doctors say that his medicals weren't that great. Scott Boras is basically saying that's not true. And we see this all the time in the major leagues, right? One team will be like, the doctors don't like it. The next team takes them, and a lot of times turns out to be perfectly fine. If you are the Mets and you lose this 10th pick, and they'll get another pick the following year because they didn't sign their pick, this could be something that comes back to bite them in the rear end on this, because a lot of these he clearly pitched through the season and was perfectly fine. Fine enough for you to draft him at that point, too.
Right.
But now you're looking at the medicals and the dollar amount that it may cost you, and you're not feeling that. Now, their owner has already chimed in on this and, you know, said he has no problem with investing as long as there's a good return. And he's basically saying this kid's not gonna wasn't gonna return his investment, so he decided not to bring him back.
Didn't the Mets know how much the 10th overall pick was gonna cost going in? I mean, pretty much. Or did Scott Boras ask something ridiculous?
Of course. I don't know what Scott. Per MLB rules, they would have needed to offer him a deal within 40%. No, I don't know. There's no really discussion on what was offered. In the draft now, there's a slotted amount that you have. If you go over that, that then subtracts from other slots that you have. So teams are inclined to stay close to that figure because it only hurts them down the line. Now, they can strategically put more money in one place if they think that is the guy. But they typically try to stay close to those numbers for the most part.
Padres signed their first-round pick, right?
I believe so.
I thought they did. I thought all the first-round picks signed except for this guy.
Jackson?
I think this was the only guy. Rocker was the only one who didn't sign, from what I read.
My other thought was looking at what the Heat have done. P.J. Tucker just signed to become a Miami Heat, too, which is why I said they are
from the
fielding
Bucks.
From the Bucks. Why I say they're fielding a team full of bullies, because those guys, not that they're real bullies, but they are of cut from the tough defensive cloth, even Kyle Lowry for that matter.
Is Pat Riley still putting the Heat together?
Yeah, I think he is. You could tell, right?
Yep. He likes those kind of guys. He's still putting a team together from the 80s, but you know what? It still works.
But just think about that. You think of Jimmy Butler. He fits that Pat Riley mode. Kyle Lowry fits that Pat Riley mode. And P.J. Tucker, I think, does too. I think he fits that kind of toughness that Pat Riley's looking for. They're going to be beaten up. I mean, they may not outrun you, but they're going to beat you up when you play against the Miami Heat for sure.
Yeah, they will. A lot of movement in the NBA today. I mean, if you're a big NBA fan, you want to check all these moves out. The biggest two names that change teams today would be Lonzo Ball, who goes to the Bulls from the Pelicans, I guess it was.
Yep.
And Kyle Lowry, the all-star, goes from the Raptors to the Miami Heat. Those are the two biggest names that are changing teams. A lot of guys retain their guys, including Chris Paul staying with the Suns and some others. But Jimmy Butler's moving toward a deal with Miami. And would you say Trae Young staying with the Hawks?
Trae Young staying with the Atlanta Hawks.
So,
what? I was thinking about this the other day. You know why it's good that Giannis won the title? Hmm. That his team won the title? Because he was one of the dudes that stayed put.
Right,
where he was, and I think it sends a good message to young folks out there that you don't necessarily have to move. Like, if you're patient and you find the right partner that's willing to, you do what the Milwaukee Bucks did. Give that organization credit. That's not something they had done before. Is go out and make the moves that they made this year, bringing in Holiday, bringing in PJ Tucker. All those things show you that. You get the right partner, you get a place you like, you can make it work. Giannis did it.
Giannis did, and he had every opportunity to join one of the, quote, super teams, and he decided to stay and make his own super team, and he believed in himself, bet on himself. We've talked about guys who do that, and they're easy to root for. So that's a good point, Tony. I want to bring up one little thing before we go to break. I know we got a break, and then we're going to have Dylan Hernandez from Tokyo, where he is covering the Summer Olympics. I'm going to let everybody know, I don't say this often. I retweeted a video of two guys playing a point in a ping pong match. Doesn't sound like much. Scraby, is it worth watching?
No.
Oh, get everybody else.
Such a liar.
Such a liar.
Chris never, ever, ever is the guy to try to get someone to watch a video. But
I
he
never
was
am.
Very into this video, and I will say yes.
It was ridiculous, right, Tony? You saw it, did you?
This is the ping pong?
The ping pong point.
Yes. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So if you want to see a video that is blow you away, check out the ping pong rally that I retweeted out at ChrisLOSD. All right, that's it. Just a little promotion for that because I want everybody to get a chance to enjoy it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's pretty wild and crazy. And then when we come back, we'll have Dylan Hernandez, who is wild and crazy himself and is in Tokyo covering the Olympics. 97.3 The Fan.
6:41 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chrisello, Matt Scraby, winding down the show. Padres with an off day. They begin a short two-game road trip in Oakland at the Coliseum. Blake Snell, I believe, throwing Wednesday or tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe, against Manaea again. Same matchup as last week, and hopefully the Padres fare a little better against Manaea this time around.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Padres, all they have to do is get one person out of their first 16 batters on base, and they'll be better than they were last time against them.
That is very true. This hour on 97.3 Fan is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. to 97.3 The Fan to listen to Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, the host of the show, has over 40 years of experience in finance and was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing Saturday at 8 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. We do have our interview with Dylan Hernandez coming up. If you missed it, he's out in Tokyo, really kind of giving us the lay of the land on what's going down there. So you'll hear from him in a second. Before we do so, we need to check some traffic first, too. Before we check traffic, I'm looking at my Lakers roster. We're a little, how shall I say this?
Long in the tooth?
Long in the tooth. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And listen, there's still a lot of factors in this, right? They got a little bit more rest this year because they didn't last very long in the playoffs. However, we don't know if NBA has decided if they're going to do an 82-game season again, because if they are, they're going to have to smash this all together too, right?
They're going to have to start like tomorrow.
And so, I like the players on the roster. My concern is how do they get through the regular season?
Did you see who they added to the roster just like in the last 10 minutes?
Wait, who?
When did they do this? Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, and Wesley Matthews. Or not Wesley Matthews, but he was already there. Dudley.
Jared Dudley was added. I didn't see that one. I mean,
they're age 36, 36, and 30. Dwight Howard's the youngster of that group. He's 35.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just 82 games. And we just, it's a long season. The good thing is you do got the human wrecking ball now with Russell Westbrook. Like, he'll have no problem getting through the 82. He might have to drag everybody else with him, but he certainly will get through the 82 for sure.
Who is the fourth highest paid player on the Lakers?
Frank Vogel.
Frank Vogel. Good guess.
I think it is Frank Vogel.
Westbrook's $41 million. LeBron's 39.
Wait, what? Russell Westbrook is being paid more than LeBron James.
Anthony Davis, 32. Yeah. Next up is Schroeder, 16.
Oh, he's about to be sign and trade. So
yeah.
There you go. Off that roster. All right. Here's some traffic before we get to Dylan Hernandez.
Anything's possible, including tracking down our guy on Tuesday morning in Tokyo,
7:45 a.m.
7:45 a.m.
Oh,
he's up,
man,
and he's nice enough to come on the show with us from the Los Angeles Times. Our guy, Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, you're getting a round of applause. We appreciate you coming on this morning. How are things in Tokyo, sir?
Weird,
Weird.
Well, because it's Tokyo town, and I'm staying in Shinjuku, which is like a pretty, Shinjuku Station is the most crowded train station in the world, right? Because it's like a very well trafficked area, And people are kind of going about their lives pretty normally, it seems, right? Even though kind of it's in the middle of a pandemic. You know, and what this kind of reminds me of a little bit is, you know, we see this a lot in Los Angeles, obviously, but, you know, how they'll block off a street, you know, because they're filming a TV show or a movie or something. Except here, kind of what they have blocked off is kind of on the peripheries of, you know, mostly on the peripheral part of town. You know, they'll block off like an entire stadium, an entire park or something, but it's like you kind of have like two different worlds, right? Kind of this, you know, this kind of makeshift, these makeshift TV sets, which is basically what these things are right now, because this is a made-for-TV event now, and kind of the rest of the city is just kind of going on doing their own thing. Now, that said, you know, I'm still in this 14-day soft quarantine, so tomorrow's like my day of freedom. But up until now, we really haven't, you know, we've been allowed to, say, walk down to the convenience store, you know, to make sure, you know, get some food to make sure we don't starve. But for the most part, we haven't really been able to go out. So, you know, even though I'm in Tokyo, it doesn't really feel like Tokyo. It feels like I'm doing, you know, media day, like at the Super Bowl or something, where I'm just either on a shuttle or at the media center or, on, you know, or at an actual, like, event. But, yeah, it's really, really weird here, man.
Dylan, what have you been covering out there at the Olympic Games?
Let's see. Just kind of been all over the place, you know. I mean, I think that one thing, you know, that I've kind of taken upon myself is just to kind of remind people of, like, kind of the larger context, right, in terms of, you know, this is happening during a pandemic. I think it's really easy. You know, we've got, like, 10 people over here. You know, obviously, you start covering the events, you can kind of get lost in that and, you know, gets lost, you know, and kind of the big picture kind of gets lost. So, for the most part, I've been trying to kind of tie it into this big picture. You know, I went up, I did a women's soccer game that was up in Miyagi, which is actually a couple hours north of here by bullet train. And I went up there because the, you know, they have, it's one of the few places where they're allowing fans into the stadium, right? So I kind of went in search, so to speak, for the Olympic spirit. And it turned out that they were actually not selling any tickets day of, right, because of the pandemic. And so what you ended up happening was, you know, even though Japan's, you know, Japan's women's national soccer team is very popular, just as ours is. And, you know, I was kind of expecting there to be a fairly big crowd there. There were maybe 1,000 people, because the only people that were able to get in were these people that bought tickets way back in 2019, you know. So I've been, yeah, just kind of bouncing around for thing to thing. You know, I've done some basketball. I was at the golf the other day. Oh, right, yeah. You know, right, your guy's guy, the San Diego kid.
Yeah,
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to butcher his last name. you know, I saw him out there. Today I'm going to head out, I think, to boxing, and then kind of we'll see in the afternoon, maybe either basketball or gymnastics. But I've just kind of been, you know, kind of all over the place.
Dylan Hernandez is our guy on the scene, joining us from the Tokyo Olympics. Dylan, you mentioned a ride on the bullet train. I don't want to let that slip by. I had the chance to go to China one time, and I don't remember I remember, you know, a lot of things, the trip. But the one thing I remember more than anything else was taking one of their bullet trains from the airport into town. It was one of the most breathtaking experiences of my life. The bullet train, is it as fast as I remember it being over there?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. You know, I think had I driven, right, I think I Googled it. It was going to be a 6 or 7 hour drive, and we got there in an hour and a half.
Wow.
Now, for me, the big disappointment, right, so I have family in Japan, and I came here a lot as a kid. We used to come every other year, you know, and I've been here probably twice in the last 4 years, you know, for work. And so I've ridden the bullet train a lot, actually. And the one really disappointing thing, of course, because of the pandemic, you know, the bullet train, the platform there, they have the obviously separate platform than the, you know, regular commuter trains. They have the best, like, bento boxes there, right? And so that was closed because of the pandemic. Usually they sell bentos in the bullet train. You know, this time it was just drinks and like some chips and stuff, right? So yeah, just kind of you notice like these little differences, and it's just like, you know, as you're kind of here, you're just kind of realizing like, yeah, it's not quite the same here, right? You know, and then unfortunately for Japan, you know, these IOC contracts that they sign you to, you know, it would have left them open to pretty significant liability. Like, I get why they went through with this thing, But it's really unfortunate because I think, you know, part of an Olympics, and especially I think for Japan, is to showcase your country to the world, right? And I think a lot of us were really excited about coming here just because, you know, Tokyo under normal circumstances is one of the most fun cities in the world. Now, it'll cost a lot of money, but, you know, it's really fun here. And, you know, 1964, when they had the games here, it was kind of, you know, reintroducing Japan post-war. You know, a lot of their subway system got created during this time, during that time. And, you know, it's really kind of showcasing Japan as, you know, kind of this, again, this emerging nation, which, you know, it turned out to be true. And I think that there were kind of similar hopes here, right? That they were going to, you know, I remember when, because I came here last time in 2019 to check to see where they were in preparations, you know, a year before. And I guess, you know, and around that time, there were news reports in the Japanese media about how there were, I don't really know how to explain this, but like basically like a metal jacket that you know, airport workers were going to wear, you know, kind of like some like RoboCop Transformer arm type things that were going to allow them to evidently carry like 500 pounds worth of suitcases, right? They were going to have, you know, if there was a crowd, they were going to have kind of fully automated food delivery where you could just order stuff on your phone and these robots in theory were going to bring you your food, you know. And I think, again, a lot of us were kind of curious, okay, you know, whatever is kind of next, you know. Japan a lot of times is the one that brings us that technology, so you know, just not being able to see all that, it just, you know, I think it's unfortunate for the hosts. You know, obviously they're, you know, their pen, right, their coronavirus numbers are really kind of exploding over here. You know, and just everything about this just kind of hasn't gone right, I think, you know, from that standpoint.
One last one for me, Dylan. There's been so much made about the weather. Is the heat really that bad out there?
You know, it got bad like yesterday, honestly. You know, it's funny because if people are complaining until now, again, I've been here a lot before. This is really nice for Tokyo. You know, okay. Now yesterday it rained a couple days ago and kind of that humidity just kind of stuck around and then it just, the temperature jumped. So yesterday was pretty terrible. Now it rained in the middle of the day, which kind of temporarily cooled things down. But, you know, when we came out of the press center late last night, it was already, you could already start feeling it. My guess is that it's going to actually continue to get worse. Yeah, because you hear about like volunteers passing out and stuff, you know, just in terms of athletes being hydrated. That's kind of been a problem here. You know, and again, the atmosphere right now is one where I think the Japanese media is almost kind of looking for bad things, right? Whatever happening is going to get spun negatively because, you know, this decision, again, to hold these games during the middle of the pandemic and, you know, the hospitals, it seems like the healthcare system is extremely overwhelmed and stretched right now. And so, yeah, when they look at this heat problem, definitely it's something that's been highlighted.
Dylan Hernandez does it all. He's in Tokyo right now for the LA Times. Last thing, we got about like a minute or so left, Dylan, but I'm sure you got word of Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers. Your thoughts from afar?
Yeah, well, you know, it really kind of slipped. It slipped there like in a 12-hour period. I remember waking up in the morning seeing how, you know, it looked like Scherzer was headed to the Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty big flip there, right? I mean, you know, you have, you know, Scherzer and Darvish, if he's pitching well, you know, I think all of that would have put them in the driver's seat. And then now all of a sudden, now you see, right, Darvish maybe isn't quite as good as he was in the first half. And, you know, now you're adding Scherzer to the Dodgers and you're adding Trey Turner. I think it really kind of, you know, again, tilts the balance in the Dodgers' favor. I mean, regardless, they were probably, you know, still the favorites, I think, in my opinion, to at least win the division. Probably get to the World Series, but this definitely puts them in the driver's seat.
Well, Dylan, enjoy the rest of your time in Tokyo. Enjoy the bullet trains and try to stay cool and enjoy getting a little more room to maneuver around starting tomorrow. But thanks so much for coming on with us. Very nice of you. It's always great talking to you, especially from the Olympics. We'll catch up to you when you get back.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
As always, such a pleasure to have on our show, all the way out in Tokyo, giving us the latest and greatest. As I said, that was Dylan Hernandez of Los Angeles Times on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fat and Hotline. Save the money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. That's going to do it for our show today. We'll catch you tomorrow. Once again, about an hour or 2 hour, 2.5 hour show. You guys have a good night.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.